Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome back to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm a horticulturist, landscape designer, and garden author. And I hope you're staying warm. It is brighter out there. The sun is coming up. So hopefully it'll get up into the 50s and 60s today.
I just saw, this is the first time since I started, 7 months ago, that I actually saw the sunlight in the hallway. What?
It looks great. And also, too, I got a solution for those roosters. You know those iguanas that are falling out of the trees?
Yes.
they should get a couple of iguanas because I know they'll probably eat a chicken up right away. Wouldn't that be something?
I don't know.
Let's go to Bill in Ormond Beach. Good morning, Bill. How can I help you?
Good morning. I just wanted to let you know, in Ormond being 40 degrees now, which is not as cold as I anticipated,
yeah.
I'm not seeing frost on anybody's roof, so that's a good thing.
I think so, too.
I've got so many plants in my yard. My wife affectionately calls it the land of encroachment. I probably in my garage have over 300 plants just in my garage.
Why, and, Bill?
Because obsessive or just compulsive or?
What are they? What are they, tropical plants?
Yes, there's bromeliads, Heliconia, there's orchids, there's euphorbias, there's mangaves.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm pretty sure the bromeliads will be okay. I'm not too worried about them because they've got that harder leaf. But your heliconias, too, will recover. But I'm glad you've got them in pots so that you can bring them in.
Well, yeah, most of them are, and I am covering. I used, when we've had frost, I do have some frost cloth, but I've also used palm fronds to just lay over the top. Since they're corrugated, and they seem to protect them from frost.
Oh, I think that's a great idea. That's wonderful. Good
or
for
even
you.
Like Spanish moss.
Yeah.
That will protect it, too.
I think that's a great idea. So you're doing everything right. It sounds good to me.
Well, I'm looking forward to you coming to our bromeliad club in March.
I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, it'll be very cool. But I keep on hearing from people, you need to get a greenhouse.
That's true. You can create your own or build. Do you have enough property to do that?
I just have an average lot.
Oh, my goodness. Well, good luck to you, and I look forward to seeing you in March, Bill. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Teresa.
All right, hon. So we have our dirty word of the day. Let's hear from John Denver to get started.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
My dirty word of the day, advective, and it comes from the University of IFAS, Institute of Food and Agricultural Science publication by Dr. Sydney Park Brown. It's Cold Protection of the Landscape Plants publication. And so we're experiencing an advective freeze this weekend. It's the first known use of the word advective was in 1910. Advective freezes occur when cold air masses move rapidly from the north, causing a sudden drop in temperature. Windy conditions are normal during advective freezes, and although radiant heat loss also occurs during an advective freeze, the conditions are quite different from a radiational freeze. Plant protection during advective winters is more difficult, and we're going to find that out this weekend. So the ability of plants to withstand a freeze depends on both the temperature fluctuations and the day lengths prior to the event. A gradual decrease in temperature helps acclimate most plants to cold. That is why a sudden decrease in late fall or early winter could result in more damage than the same lower temperatures in January or February. But this year, we had days with high temperatures in the 80 to 90 degree range in December and January, so we did not experience many days of cooler fall and winter temperatures to prepare the plants. So the leaf and stem tissues during an advective temperature drop will not survive ice formation inside the cells, but many plants could adapt to tolerate ice formation if they were conditioned. That's why we tell you not to turn your irrigation on and freeze your plants. It doesn't help them. It actually can hurt them. So one type of winter injury is plant desiccation or drying out, and this is characterized by marginal leaf tip burn. And so advective is the dirty word of the day. I think it's the dirty word of the weekend. What do you think, Lizzie?
I'm game for that one, yes.
You can find all of the dirty words each week, along with what to do in your landscape, Teresa's design tips and articles, and more on betterlawns.com. Also, if you're on Facebook, I appreciate when you send in your landscape and garden photographs. Let me know what's going on in your yard. If you're anything like me, you're always looking for new plants to grow, and the more colorful, the better. Coming up, I get to discuss the newest color trend with Kip McConnell. He is the director of Plant Development Services, Inc., the company responsible for the beautiful Encore azaleas, all of the great shrubs and flowers from the Southern Living Plant Collection, and the Sunset Plant Collection. You're going to learn about new plants that are becoming out this spring, so you're going to want to stay tuned for that. From Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I hope you're staying warm wherever you are in the state of Florida. If you're new to Florida, it's not often that we have such abrupt drop in the temperatures, but winter does happen in Florida. You're going to want to make sure that the plants you buy are zoned for your area, whether it's zone 8, zone 9, zone 10, 11, or 12, and that you're prepared with the right type of temporary protection accessories to help in your landscape get through these advective winters. That's why I told you in November, look for frost blankets and get them now, because when it gets to be a frost the day before or the week before, you won't be able to find them because everybody's going to grab them. My next guest is one of the experts that help brings beautiful shrubs and plants to your local nursery that are not only colorful and unique, but can survive the South's up and down seasonal weather. Kip McConnell is the director of Plant Development, Inc., the company responsible for some of my favorite landscape design installation plants, called some plants like Encore Azaleas, Southern Living Planting Collection, and Sunset Plant Collection. Good morning, Kip. How are you this morning?
I am doing great this morning.
Well, I can appreciate more about northerners and cold weather this morning because it is getting so cold here. Now, we had the same temperatures this week as Alaska. That's just crazy, isn't it?
It is, and we've experienced it here, too. I'm on the Gulf Coast here in South Alabama, and we had a light freeze this morning, but we're going to warm up nicely today in the mid-60s, so it's up and down.
It is up and down, and it's going to be in the 70s and 80s next week. So just to let people know, you're right off I-10 between Mobile and Pensacola and in the small town of Locksley, right?
That's correct. That's where our nursery is, yes.
I think you must have one of the best jobs in green industries. Describe your everyday activities as a director for plant development.
I agree. I really do. I get to literally travel the world to talk to breeders and hybridizers to bring new plants to the market. So, again, that's just super exciting. And then I get to come home and deal with all our great nurserymen to show them these new plants and let them figure out how to grow them so that then they can get them to market. And then I get to come on a show like yours and get to connect with the consumer and tell them about these new plants. So I get to go from start to finish, and it's really exciting.
I could just imagine. I love it. So now your research and development takes into consideration Pantone's color of the year. So tell us about that and what kind of plants we can find from it.
Yes, we do. So it's interesting. We've done this for the past several years, and it's just another way to create a little bit of excitement. Everybody likes to have, you know, something new every year, and so having that Pantone of the Year gives us another reason to talk about some of our great plants.
Okay.
And we do have some great ones that fit this one for this year.
Okay, so what is the name of the color this year, and can you describe it for our listeners?
Yes. So the name, cute name called Very Peri. So it's a periwinkle type color, but it's really, really nice, really vibrant for spring. I think it really brings out the excitement we have for the upcoming spring and, you know, bringing that color to our gardens.
Okay, so how can people, what kind of shrubs and plants fit this category of Very Peri?
So we have several. One to start, which has a wide range of uses, is called our Chef's Choice Rosemary. So this rosemary has a very beautiful little periwinkle-colored bloom, but it's also a great plant to use for a culinary respects. It has one of the highest oil contents of any rosemary. It's a very compact grower, so it's great for landscapes and container usage. So again, it has a lot of different attributes, but it also has that nice, beautiful periwinkle-colored flower on it. So again, it fits the bill very well.
I love using rosemary in edible landscapes. And so does this one, how tall does it get? Because, you know, rosemary can get to be 5-6 feet tall and get very woody. So what kind of growth habit does this rosemary have?
No, I know what you mean. No, this one's very compact, only 18 to 24 inches high by about the same width. So it's kind of a rounded habit to it, but very beautiful. Of course, gives you that beautiful gray-green color along with the blooms. So I think it's a perfect, you know, solution for the rosemary on a patio or a smaller landscape.
Excellent. Now, how soon can people find this rosemary in, now, and what's the name of it?
Chef's Choice Rosemary. Again, a great name, too, I think.
I think so, too. Chef's Choice Rosemary. How soon can our listeners find it in the stores?
It is available this spring. So it's been out. We started it about a year or so ago. So it should be widely available this spring.
What other flowers do you have?
Oh, I have some great ones. Nectar Blue Salvias. Again, a lot of salvias on the market. But this one has, again, that beautiful color that fits the Pantone for this year. Compact Salvia. Perennial Salvia. So it's going to come back even for your areas in northern Florida, which do get some cold. This was a really great option.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it is. It's a really nice one. And then another one is a Dianella, which is a grass that's actually originated in Australia, but it has a really great blue flower in the spring, and then it also has blue berries on it later on in the summer. So it gives you a kind of a triple threat there.
Oh, I think that's lovely. Okay, and so what about larger shrubs? Is there anything that you have coming out that's a little bit larger?
Oh, yeah, we do have larger things. One in particular that would have some of that blue flower that we're talking about would be a Vitex.
I love Vitex. Oh, my goodness.
It is a very wide-ranging plant. It's amazing, you know, the areas. It can go into Florida, but, you know, goes much further north, but has these beautiful flowers in the summer and has that interesting foliage shape that sets it apart from a lot of other large shrubs.
Yeah, I love Vitex. It's also called Chase Tree. It's Vitex agnus.
Correct.
And it's just, I can see that color being used for it. Wonderful. That's a great choice. So tell us about some of your other favorite landscape plants in the Southern Living Collection and the Sunset Collection.
Yeah, one of the other ones I did want to mention, and again, perfect for Florida, too, are agapanthus. We have a great collection of agapanthus, many of them that have the color range that we're talking about today, but they also have other colors and sizes and shapes. We have some really dwarf compact types, some medium and large. But again, very, very useful drought tolerant, sun tolerant plants for containers and landscapes. So I encourage everybody to check out some of those offerings for the Agapanthus.
That's a great choice. And I love using those too, because they can take full sun, they can take a little bit of shade, but they have beautiful color that just rises up right out of the ground. So I love using Agapanthus. So I always recommend to gardeners, Kip, that they ask nurseries to bring in the plants that they would like to see, that they would like to use in their landscapes. If they don't say anything to the nurseries, the nurseries don't know to bring them in. Do you have any advice to help listeners get plants that they can't find at local nurseries?
Yes. I do the same. I always ask, because many times your garden center can get them. But if you can't get them, there's some great resources on our website and then other gardening websites, but like southernlivingplants.com. You can go on there, and there's always a place to where to buy on these sites. And so once you click on those, it will take you to the plant you're actually on, or it also gives you suggestions of accompanying plants, too. So you can find a lot of the things that you might not have at the garden center through these sites, and they always have a mail order option so that you can get them delivered directly to your door.
I love them, too, because, ordering online, when you can't find a plant at a local nursery, that they're shipped and they're well-preserved during the shipping process, and you can put them right into the ground. And so it's just a really easy way to get plants if you can't find them at a local nursery. And I always tell people to go to the local nurseries first.
I agree, yeah.
So how can gardeners find more inspiration for the Pantone's Very Peri color in their landscape? Can you give us a couple more of your websites?
Sure, yeah. Well, again, like I said, I would go to our website, Southern Living Plants, or encorezilia.com. But also, I find a lot of inspiration on Pinterest and Instagram. I'm always cruising through those, and you get some really nice ideas from there as well. I think something we also would like to talk about, too, to bring that color to your landscape if you can't find the flower. I mean, you can use colorful containers. We can, paint some of our containers to create these color interests. I use that a lot, and just pair plants with the containers. You really bring that color to your landscape.
I love that idea. That's a great idea, is to use a color and just paint your container. And they can go to any of the box stores or a paint store and find Pantone's Very Peri that they can use on their your containers and raised beds areas. I love that. Thank you so much, Kip, for coloring our world with beautiful flowers. Very Peri is going to be extremely popular spring color. So I'd love to have you come back on and talk a little bit more about your Southern Living Plant Collection. Will you do that?
I would definitely do that. Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
I'm looking forward to seeing all the new shrubs and flowers you're working on for the future. Thank you so much, Kip.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. And that was Kip McConnell. He is the director of Plant Development, Inc. And don't you love that color? That's kind of like a vintage color, but it's so brand new and fresh.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited about that. Just beautiful.
Last year, the color was a neon yellow. And I was driving by a house in Orlando that was gray, and they had Pantone's Color of the Year front door, and it just made me stop. And it was so striking, and it went well with the house because it was modern. I just wonder if they're going to change the door color this year to fit Very Peri, and it'll be interesting to see.
How many yards have you been trespassed from, can I ask? Because I can only imagine you driving by and be like, oh my gosh, I really got to see it up close.
You know what Tony says? Okay, so I always say, stop, I got to take a picture. And he'll drive by, and I'll just give him that look, that wife look. And he'll say, okay, I will turn around. He says, don't worry about it. If you see something you want to take a picture of, which I do a lot, mm-hmm. and he says, I will just go down and I'll turn around safely. Teresa, the word is safely. And we'll go around, and then I can pull over. We'll find a good place for you to get out.
Is that, does he actually go back and do that?
Yeah, he does.
Oh, okay. He's good.
No matter where we are driving, if we do a trip up north and we're driving alongside the road, I will see something. Because I'm always, when I'm driving, I can say, okay, look at that ecosystem, and I can identify the ecosystem. And then I'll see a plant and I'll go, oh, that would be a great photograph. And, I'm just always stopping And when I'm driving, I just pull right over. But he doesn't know that. And he's a very careful driver.
What a good husband.
He is. And he just says, I will always stop, Teresa. Don't freak out. I love that. So if you have a gardening question, now's the time to get your answers. You can call me at 1-888-455-LAWNS, or you can text me at 23680. Even with the cold snap, we're going to have lawns and mosquitoes when spring arrives. Check out Mosquito Bits and Dunks from our great sponsor, Summit Responsible Solutions, at summitresponsiblesolutions.com. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. And good morning. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you'd like to give me a call, I can answer your gardening questions. I know it's cold this morning and you're probably just snuggled in your bed, but you can do it right from your bed. You can call me at 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. So Beverly in Tallahassee, she helped, and she said that if you will buy safflower seeds, S-A-F-F-L-O-W-E-R seeds, the squirrels don't like them, and the birds love them. So you mix those in with it, and they will help deter your squirrels. So thank you, Beverly, for that. I hope you're staying nice and warm. Jim in Tallahassee, he emailed, and he said that he had 31 degrees this morning and that it's going to be cold, but he is going to, cover up his avocado. Now, there are some avocados like the Joey and the Haas that can get down into the 20s. And so if you're looking for a cold-tolerant avocado, Joey is one of the best, J-O-E-Y. But I have sad news for the mangoes and the papayas. They're going to get hit. So you definitely want to make sure that you go out and pull off any fruit that's not damaged yet, that if you haven't had the frost temperatures, because tomorrow morning it's going to get really cold, and that fruit is going to get damaged. So you're going to want to take care of that. So then I had Anthony. He emailed and said that he lived in Lake County, and he wanted to know where to find 4-packs and 6-packs, because any of you who remember Simon Seeds in Leesburg, that shut down about 3 to 4 years ago, and he didn't know where to get them. Well, 4-packs and 6-packs of annuals you can get at any of the major box stores. So that's really the easiest place to do it. But you could also go by the Yard Stop in Mount Dora and check them out and see what they have. So now the 4-packs and 6-packs of your annuals and your vegetables should be more readily available. So check those out. Thank you so much, Anthony, for writing and listening to BetterLawns.com. Better Lawns and Gardens, that's what I should say. And then I had Jan send me a picture of a weed that she needed to have for identification and treatment. And so the weed is a long, little vine ground cover-like weed that has a soft chartreuse color leaves. And what it is it's the Asiatic day flower, Comlinia communisa, and Comlinia communisa. And it's a member of the spiderwort family, which I love. But the dayflower is considered a weed, and it is a native spiderwort. On it, Jan, you could use either atrazine or bentazone or imazoquin on your St. Augustine to control it. It is difficult to control, but once established, you may have to use several applications. So stay on top of those weeds. And I would go ahead and do that after the next weekend, okay? You can do it probably in February and have a little bit more better efficiency of the herbicide, because right now during the cold weather, the plants are not growing. So you want to do it when the plant's growing, and that's going to mean the temperatures have to warm up just a little bit. So also, if you're seeing Phyllis, she wanted to know what that name of that beautiful pink flowering tree is right now that's got yellow throat. And if you go into BetterLawns.com, you can see, the Facebook page of Better Lawns and Gardens, you can see the pink tabebuia tree It is gorgeous. Now, I don't know how it's going to get affected by the freezes, so I'm going to run by this week and see what's happened, because it is a tropical tree, and it can take some cold weather, but if the temperatures get down too low, it's going to get snapped back. But that beautiful pink flowering tree is the Tabebuia heptaphylla. Tabebuia heptaphylla. Let's go to Jim in Ocoee. Good morning, Jim. How can I help you?
Good morning. I am, for my plumeria that are in the ground, I've taken the insulation they use for pipes that's real cheap. You get it at the hardware stores, mm-hmm. and it put them the insulation around the round trunk, so I'm hoping that'll help. Also, when I was in Korea, all of the trees during the bitter winters they have there have rope wrapped up the trunks. So for my young lemon tree, I'm going to cover it, but also I took rope and wrapped it around the trunk going up a couple 3 feet. I'm not sure whether that helps or not, so I thought I'd ask you.
I think that's a great idea. One, it's a great idea. You mentioned at first that you did that that little wrapping around that you can get at the store. That's a great idea. Use that. And then the rope around the lemon tree will be good, but you have to remember to take it off. Okay, yes. So I would probably after next weekend, I would make sure that you unwrap it so that it doesn't grow, that the tree doesn't start to grow around the rope. But both ideas are good.
Okay, great. Well, okay. Thank you very much. Thanks for your show.
You're welcome, Jim. I appreciate you calling and listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. Let's go to Mary in Daytona Beach. Good morning, Mary. How can I help?
Hi, good morning, Teresa. I had bought a gardenia just from one of the box stores, and I put it in the ground, a small one. It was in a planter, and it's only been in the ground not even a year, and I'm not too sure on how it's supposed to grow, or did I plant it in the right area?
Okay. So where did you plant it?
Well, I planted it in my front yard by the house, and of course in the summer it does get mostly sun, but now winter time or the change of the seasons, it's a little more in the shade.
Okay. It's going to do just fine. Gardenias can take full sun and they can take shade as well. So I think you've done perfectly fine. You just want to make sure that you're keeping it fertilized with acidic fertilizer and just consistent watering. Don't let it go too long without, if we don't get rainfall, without water.
Oh, I see. And does it take a while for it to actually bloom? It's only about maybe 2 feet.
Yeah, but it hasn't bloomed since, was it blooming when you bought it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it should bloom again for you this year. You can go out and actually look at the leaves and see if you've got buds forming. And have you fertilized it this year?
No.
Okay. That's very important. It's going to need fertilized on a consistent basis with acidic fertilizer. So you're going to want to use an Osmocote or a slow-release fertilizer like Dynamite every 3 to 6 months.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Mary. Thank you so much for listening. Let's go. We don't have time. Lewis, hang on. We're going to get to your call next. If you'd like to give me a call, I would love to talk to you about your garden, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. I'm Teresa Watkins. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Go. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. We still have a few more minutes in our last segment. Time for you to get your gardening question answered. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680.
Lois had called in and she was waiting very patiently, so I'm not sure exactly what happened, but she said she was having problems finding the seed packs and the stores, and them being super expensive, some of them.
The four packs and the six packs?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so those are like the early starting transplants that you can buy with for your annuals and your vegetables and herbs. And, you know, I would say that if you're having trouble finding them, always ask when they're going to come in, because nurseries and the box stores, they always have a set time of the year that they bring them in. It still may be a little early.
True.
A lot of them don't necessarily want to have a lot of plants that are going to get damaged by the winter season. And because Florida does have these up and down seasonal temperatures where it's 80 degrees one day and 30 degrees the next day, they may wait until February to start bringing them in. So I would say if you can't find a 4-pack or 6-pack of the annual flowers, vegetables, or herbs, ask them when they're bringing them in. And it may just be that you just went on the wrong time of the week. You know, usually the plants come in at the nurseries anytime between Wednesday and Thursday so that they have plenty of stock for the weekend. And so you may have gone on a Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, and they hadn't arrived yet. So always ask a nursery, you know, just be the nursery's best friend and talk to them. Tell them what you want and what you're looking for, and then also ask questions. That's always a great way to do it. I wanted to, where was I going with this?
Bev,
yes. So Bev, again, thank you for letting us know about the safflower seeds for the squirrels.
Yeah, she said that invasive birds.
I don't know if there's such a thing as invasive birds.
But she says
aggressive birds. Aggressive birds, like grackles and crows and blue jays. They kind of terrorize bird feeders.
Right, and squirrels do not like that also. So you can add that to the pepper seed that you were saying.
That's true. That's very true. It is a little bit more of the expensive, you know, seed varieties that you can buy for birds, but aren't birds worth it? So, you know, you definitely want to do that as well. Also, too, you can go to Facebook. We would love for you to like the Better Lawns and Gardens Facebook page and just like it. Give us 5 stars. And then they can also go to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you're listening to us on iHeart or iTunes or Amazon or any of the podcast stations that we're on, Spotify, Audio Boom, all of that, then you can also rank us there, and you can give us a 5. I would love that. Let's go to Tom, and good morning, Tom. How can I help you?
Okay, fine. So I didn't listen. You've been mentioning seed companies, and I've been in and out of the garden all morning harvesting veggies because, you know, it might freeze tomorrow. And anyway, seed company, I didn't hear you mention this, but a seed company that carries a wide variety of, they specialize in Asian seed vegetables is Kitazawa Seed Company. They're based in Oakland, California, and they are they sell online.
They are a great company, and you said that very well. What I'm going to do is I can never pronounce it well at all. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to post a link to all of these seed companies on our Facebook page, and I will add that one definitely, Tom. So if you're interested in seed varieties, because a lot of the Asian companies, the seeds, their spinaches and lettuces and kale and broccoli, different types of broccoli, will grow in the summertime here. And so they have a really good variety of Asian vegetables that take, you know, replace our cool season vegetables very nicely.
Yeah, and it's already over 50 degrees outside here.
Yep. So I just don't think it's going to get as bad as what they thought. But, you know, it's always good to prepare. So it's going to be even colder, though, tomorrow morning. So, let us know next week what it got down to where you live.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you, Tom.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. And you can give me a call, 1-888-455-2967. I had Phyllis. She said that she has 5 hibiscus. All of them are shrubs they're doing all well, except one is growing long and spindly. And so when I see something like that, I automatically go to the root ball. Something is happening with the root ball that's not happening to the other 4.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, so it's either that it's not planted correctly, it may have girdled roots, or it's not getting the water or fertilizer that it needs, whereas the other ones do. So it may have something blocking the irrigation. So what I would do is I would dig that one that's not doing well up, and see what's going on. And you can even dig the other one of the healthy hibiscus that's right next to it up too as well, and compare the root balls. You know, kind of look at them and see, judge if they're, you know, similar, or if you see an issue starting, and or an issue there. And so I would do that, look at it, and then put them back down in the ground. You might even want to just cut the roots of that that unhealthy hibiscus and just cut them with a shovel, and you will, you know, kind of stimulate that root growth. So that's what I would do. So thank you for the question, and thank you for listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. Let's go to Tommy. Tommy is back in Orlando. Good morning, Tommy. Are you back?
Yes, I'm back. Good morning.
Good morning. It's a different Tommy. There you go.
Oh, yeah, a different Tommy for sure. I have a Chinese, like, money plant, the tree version with the five leaves
yes.
on the end.
Is your phone ringing? The fax line is ringing?
Sorry, can you hear me?
Now I can hear you. Okay, go ahead. Your fax line. There we go. Okay, so you have a money tree. All right.
Yes, the one with the five leaves at the end of every stalk.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering, it's grown like 5 foot since I've purchased it a few years ago, and I just want to know, do I need to continue to braid it up, or should I just let it go natural?
I would say that's a choice as it gets taller and bigger. Is it in the ground or in a pot?
It's in a pot.
Okay, so you can control the growth of that plant in the pot by taking it out of that pot every year, every couple of years, and cutting a third of the roots off and putting fresh soil back in the pot and then putting it back in the pot. And that's going to curb the growth quite a bit. Okay, so you can just keep it growing in that same pot and then just trimming the top of it off to where you're satisfied with it if you want to keep it that size. Now, if you want it to grow taller, it can grow a lot taller. It can get up to about 30 feet tall, if not more, in its natural native country. And so you can put it in the ground and let it grow and let it go. And then you won't braid it as much, you know. So I would not continue to keep braiding it. I would just kind of let it outgrow that.
Okay. That sounds really cool. I didn't know it would get that big.
Yeah. Oh, they get huge. Yeah, it's kind of like the ficus trees. And so, you know, money plants will get really, 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 really big. But, you know, that's it's up to you as about how much work you want to do to it.
Okay.
Well,
thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom, for listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. You stay warm. All right. I did not know what was going on there. So thank you very much. Let's go to Lizzie. She said, Lizzie, yes, I do. We were on a Nerley road trip. I am a Nerley alumni. This is wonderful. When she asked me excitedly so she could get a photo. That's when the pack was struck. So that's Tony. So my husband texted.
He couldn't have called in. Come on, bro. Seriously, pick up the phone.
I'm going, this person knows about Nerley. And I looked at it. Doesn't. That's so funny. He is so good to me. He really tolerates. He's a spoiled rotten. So the next text message is, I have a 20-year-old oak tree in the back, and at the base of some of the main trunk limbs, it's developing a pocket that's catching debris, and it looks like it could go to rot or turn into rot. How do I fix that? I would immediately get that tree assessed. Okay, it used to be a habit that we would fill those cavities with cement and all kinds of, styrofoam or spray foam. We no longer recommend doing that. I would get your tree assessed by a certified arborist. Find out what's going on. The tree just might be at the end of its life cycle, and that, you know, or it's rotten inside already, and that cavity is just a symptom of it. So get the tree assessed. If it's only 20 years old, I would like to know. I mean, it should be lasting longer than that. And they could also tell you how to fix it or correct that cavity. Okay, so I would go with their recommendations. So that's a great message. I also want to just remind people not to commit crepe murder. Okay, so do not be cutting your crepe myrtle trees. Do not make me pull over and start yelling because crepe myrtles do not need to be cut back. You can trim them back if you're having air circulation problems or a branch is growing the wrong way, but you don't want to cut off anything that's smaller than your or that's larger than your pinky. Okay, anything smaller than your pinky you can cut off. If you do need to trim it on the top, make sure you're cutting it correctly. But no crepe myrtle, please. I want to thank our special guest today, Kathy Jentz, host of the popular Garden DC podcast. Don't miss her Seed Swap Day YouTube live session for seed swappers at YouTube.com, Washington Gardener Magazine. And then also Kit McConnell, Director of Plant Development. He's responsible for the fabulous Encore Azaleas and Southern Living Collection. Thank you so much. A special thank you to Summit Responsible Solutions and a maker of mosquito bits and other environmentally responsible pest controls. Check them out at summitresponsiblesolutions.com. Lizzie, thank you for a great show today. I appreciate everything you do. Thank you to our callers and texters. Join Lizzie and I next week for more Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.